Hey guys, and welcome to the Pacing Racing Podcast, the Canadian triathlon podcast made in mind for the age group triathletes. And today's guest is Super League triathlete Sophie Caldwell. So for those who may not know Sophie yet, she's a young and talented British ITU triathlete and has taken the triathlon scene by a storm in the recent years. With multiple prestigious results across the ITU and a crowd favorite in the Super League, Sophie's on a fast track becoming a household name in the triathlon community. Now, to briefly cover her highlights over the last couple of years, in 2017, Sophie won her first global bronze medal in the under-23 event at the ITU World Championships in Rotterdam, as well as a fourth-place finish on the ITU World Triathlon Series in Yokohama. Now, she also finished second to Jessica Learmonth at the 2017 ETU European Standard Distance Championships. And then moving ahead to 2018, Sophie represented England at the Commonwealth Games on the Gold Coast and finished sixth place. Then she went on to win the ETU European Sprint Triathlon Championships in Estonia in July. And then this year, notably, she won the gold at the Cagliari ITU Triathlon World Cup and was part of the British mixed relay team that won the gold in Nottingham and the silver in Edmonton. She hopes to continue this success into 2020 next year after achieving a top 10 finish at the Tokyo ITU World Triathlon Olympic qualification event alongside Vicky Holland and Non Stanford. So in today's exclusive Super League episode, we talked to Sophie about the rules and formatting of the Super League, how the points are awarded, how athletes receive those colored jerseys, and she gives some great insight on her own experiences in the fast and dynamic Super League and how us as age groupers can train and prepare for a Super League race ourselves. So I keep going on all day, but I'm sure it sounds better coming from her. So let's cue the music. First sponsor of today's show is Soul Fitness Canada, who is a premier global name in the fitness industry and has become one of the fastest growing fitness brands across the US and Canada. And the reason why I'm so excited for Soul Fitness Canada to be the show sponsor is because all of you know we are unfortunately nearing the end of summer, which means as a proactive thinker, I have to start thinking about indoor training. And with Challenge Roth just under 11 months away, we're ramping up the volume in running, which requires a treadmill that I'll be able to spend countless hours on. So with lots of research, I found a brand that I can stand behind for their value, quality, and their service. And I'm excited to say that I ended up actually getting the TT8 treadmill from Soul Fitness Canada. And so you'll definitely be seeing lots of this treadmill, guys, in the Pacing Racing videos. And I can't wait to put some miles on inside the paint cave. And now you may ask, how did I end up choosing Soul Fitness Canada over all the other brands? So for those who don't know, Soul has a full line of treadmills, ellipticals, and exercise bikes, and has been in the industry for decades and is a popular brand well over 29 countries. They are one of the only manufacturers to warehouse all their parts and products in Canada and host a fully bilingual customer service team. And to briefly touch on the treadmill I went with, it offers up to 15 levels of incline, 6 levels of decline with speeds up to 12 miles per hour. It has accurate heart rate monitoring with both pulse grips and chest strap options, and the TT8 features a large 22-inch by 60-inch running surface, handlebar-mounted speed incline buttons, inboard speakers, and a cooling fan, and so much more, guys. So these are all important factors for me when I went looking for a treadmill. And another thing that may resonate with the listeners is it's not just for winter training. In fact, I have a daughter that's 19 months old and who happens to love her nap time. So I love the idea that I'm able to go for a long run on the treadmill while she sleeps. And I think this is a great way for effective time management for the time crunch triathletes out there. So if any of you are in the market for treadmills, bikes, rowers, or ellipticals, or any of that stuff for your pain cave, then head to soulfitness.ca/pacing-and-racing. And again, Soul is spelled S-O-L-E. And if you guys have any questions on products, then you definitely shoot me a DM and I can help guide you into a treadmill that would suit your needs. So Soul Fitness is providing Pacing Racing listeners a free equipment mat with any cardio equipment they purchase from the website, which is a $50 value. So that's super cool of them, guys. And all you have to do is type in Pacing and Racing during checkout. The second sponsor of today's podcast is Sycon Bags, which I'm super thrilled about because, of course, being here in Canada, unfortunately, it requires a ton of traveling and flying to get around to some of these big named races. So Sycon has actually offered up a 30% discount to the Pacing and Racing listeners, and you can reap benefits of this by using the promo code Pacing and Racing at checkout for 30% off. So if anyone has actually traveled with a bike before, you may know that it's an extremely hectic journey if you aren't prepared. And not only that, but it's a whole process of taking your bike apart and putting it back together when you get there. Meanwhile, on this flight, you're praying that your bike doesn't get damaged. So, I mean, that's why I'm thrilled to say after a ton and ton of research into this bike cases, that I finally went with the Sycon Aerotech Evolution X, and I cannot wait to show you guys. So I'll be doing a video going over in detail exactly how easy it is to store my bike in it to travel, how little time it takes, and most importantly, how convenient it is to travel with. And so now many of my listeners who follow me know I'm a big fan of keeping costs low because we all know triathlon is just such an expensive sport. But I truly think a bike case is just one of those few items that you should definitely not cheap out on, guys. And the reason why I say this is because there'd be no worse feeling than traveling to a race only to get there with a damaged bike or even dealing with the stress of rebuilding your bike. So for a few quick points on the bike case that I chose, it's one of the toughest and lightest hard shell cases in the world, yet it only comes in at a very light 26 pounds. And it can fit bikes up to 62 centimeters in size and wheels up to 26 inches. And with smaller bikes like mine, they can actually fit without removing a saddle. And in most cases, you only need to actually remove the wheels, remove one pedal, and turn the handlebars. That's it. And of course, I could talk up the bike case I bought, but there's just so many more Cycon bags available that they all have their own neat perks and bonuses. So, I mean, definitely feel free to browse around, see which one best suits you and your needs. And if you want to check all these out, guys, you can check them out and see what's on sale by heading to www.cyconbags.com or search them on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube by typing in Cycon, which again is spelled S-C-I-C-O-N. Sophie, welcome to the Pace Racing Podcast. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, thanks so much for coming on the show. I appreciate you having you here. Now, it's funny because for the listeners, I was trying to find ways of looking at describing you, and your Instagram pretty much handled that for me. So it reads that you're a dog lover, a do-it-yourself guru, nail varnish addict. You're a chocolate lover, but Nutella hater, which is awesome, and a tea drinker.
Yeah, that's pretty much me.
Yeah, we summarized it. Awesome. Yeah. No, good stuff. No, actually though, like, you've had an incredible triathlon career so far and you're still quite young. So could you tell the listeners a little bit about your triathlon career in the ITU series and how you made your way into competing in the Super League series?
Yeah, I mean, I'm only 24, but I've been competing since I was 18, since I was 8, so for quite a few years now. So yeah, I started off as a junior doing all the youngster races that we have here in the UK. Got on to our program when I was kind of like 16. And yeah, from there kind of did, you know, as a junior and under 23, did the championship races. And then the last couple of years have kind of been working my way up through to race OETS really. And I think, you know, it's kind of a big shock. We were only really talking about it a few days ago that my first WTS, I was still actually a junior and raced down in Hyde Park. So yeah, it's been a big journey for me so far, and I kind of feel like I'm progressing each year, which is always nice. And then Super League, yeah, that came onto the scene three years ago, and I've done Jersey every year since. And this year, thankfully, heading on and racing Malta in the rest of the season that they've got for this year and next.
Amazing. Yeah, no, it's so true. And I guess you've had a great year being ranked, I believe it was 13th in a very competitive ITU field, the ITU Worlds, and then in the Super League. After just your most recent performance there in Jersey, you're now sitting 7th. So you're pretty well positioned going into Malta. So, I mean, before we talk about Malta, which there's lots to talk about there, I want to ask you about how you felt in Jersey. How'd you feel with that race overall?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, obviously we were disappointed with the weather and the fact that we had to, you know, make Sunday an aquathlon, but, you know, hands off to the whole team at Super League. Like, that was the right decision. You know, sometimes as an athlete where, you know, things get changed and you kind of think, we could have done that, you know, but hands down, there's no way that it was safe to ride on the Sunday. So obviously that was disappointing, but for me, you know, I was really pleased with how it went over the weekend. Sometimes I feel a bit rusty on the Saturday and kind of work my way in for the Sunday, but it was actually really nice to kind of get out and race well on Saturday and had Rachel there and Emma Jeffcoat as well. So yeah, it was a great weekend of racing, and, you know, I was really pleased to kind of get the blue jersey back. That was a big aim for me for the weekend. So yeah, I was pleased for the weekend, and I feel like I'm in a good position going forth into the series.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely crazy. Yeah, it was amazing to see how it all turned out in Jersey. So it's really cool as we look ahead and now look into Malta and what's kind of coming next. So now, it was crazy because it looked like you guys had an absolute blast in Jersey, as there's, you know, a ton of athlete coverage before and after the race, which is one of the things I love about Super League in particular, right?
Like, yeah.
We saw you guys, the photos of you guys riding on the bike and your bike trainers in the windows of the downtown shop. So, I mean, how was that? How was that experience?
Yeah, I can't say I've ever ridden my bike in a shop window before. I think that's also the great thing about Super League is it's not just a day of racing or a weekend of racing. And to be honest, it's not even just like the week leading into it. Like, they're always, you know, asking for your opinions and asking you, like, how do we best develop this for an athlete as well as just, you know, kind of providing it for the fans and the support as well. How do we best make Super League an event for everyone involved? And, you know, even if you take Jersey, you know, we do the school visits and, you know, the community things. And it's not just about a weekend of elite sport. It's a, you know, it's hopefully a legacy that gets left for the youngsters, especially of Jersey or Malta, wherever we go, to kind of get them into sport. And whether that's triathlon or not, I think that's a massive thing. And Super League have really captured that. And yeah, we do some crazy things, riding in a shop window, and some of the guys went to a Michelin star restaurant and we're cooking there. So it's a whole host of things. But I think it just goes to show, like, we do want to do more than just sport. You know, we kind of want to get out there and show how great triathlon is and get people involved as much as possible.
Yeah, no, you said it perfectly there. That's right. Like, you know, doing those things out in the community and kind of building that public awareness, I think that's huge for the sport. I think that's something that's really needed. And, you know, it's really cool to kind of see that and how it all unfolded and how the Super League has grasped that concept and are working with the athletes too, right? It's not just the Super League themselves doing it. Like, yeah, you guys are just as involved and just as a part of it and, you know, give those options and ideas to the Super League to kind of all work together and make it better. So I think that's really cool to see and a big fan of watching that. But
yeah,
now, you know, as we head into another competitive weekend upcoming here in Malta, how are you feeling looking ahead to this race?
Yeah, it should be good. I mean, I don't even normally race this late in the season. So that's one thing for me, which is different from other years. You know, normally I've already had an end of season break and I'm probably getting back into training by now. Whereas I've actually carried on training, haven't had a break, and, you know, racing this late is different for me. So that's one thing that I'm actually quite looking forward to, is, you know, having a bit of a longer season and carrying on racing a bit later. But yeah, I think I'm really raring to go still. And yeah, I've never been to Malta and it looked incredible last year. Like the site looked amazing, and, you know, kind of the whole hill on the bike and stuff adds a different dimension to the racing again. So excited to head out and looking forward to a weekend of hard but fun racing.
Yeah, no, that's it. Exactly. It's hard but fun for sure. That's really cool. And of course you had the blue jersey, or you got the blue jersey awarded in Jersey there. So for those who may not be familiar with the rules of Super League yet, some of the newer listeners, could you explain how that jersey system works? Like, how did you get that blue jersey and that sort of thing? I guess what other jerseys are available to other athletes?
So there's the four jerseys that you can win are the blue for the swimmer, green for the cyclist, and red for the runner. And then they also have a grey suit for the fastest transition. And basically how that works is the first race of the first day. So the first swim on the Saturday and the first swim on the Sunday race, like, they take whoever crosses the line first and you get 5 points, 4 points, 3 points, 2 points, 1 point. And then the similar on the Sunday as well. So if you're gone in for the bike, it's the first bike leg of the first race on the Saturday and then similar on the Sunday. And then your points become cumulative, not only for the weekend, but obviously an ongoing competition through the year. And I think that's great. There's, you know, there's money involved as well, which is always a nice incentive as well. So there's those four jerseys that you can win that way. There's the pink jersey, which is the overall leader, and obviously you need to be winning overall the series to win that. And then they also have the white jersey for the youngest competitor, and I think that's a great addition to have. My really good friend and training partner, Liv Mathias, has actually got the white one in the women's race at the moment. And I think it's nice to show that, you know, she's up there competing and she finished eighth in Jersey and she's actually the youngest in the field. And I think that, you know, that's great to kind of, you know, give a nod to the younger athletes as well.
Yeah, that's really cool. I'm happy to see that, the white jersey there, because you're right, that is a really nice thing to make kind of stand out and, you know, give those kudos out to the youngest athletes. Yeah. I like that. That's incredible. So. Yeah. I mean, of course, with you having the blue jersey, you had a very strong swim in Jersey. So how do you find the swim? Is it one of your strengths overall, or do you feel you excel more on the bike or run? Or what are your thoughts on your skills in particular?
Yeah, no, I definitely think the swim, especially over the short distance, is something that, is a strength for me. I used to be quite good at sprint swimming, like 50, 100 meters when I was younger. I kind of went to national champs and stuff for the shorter distance. So I definitely try and use that where I can in open water. And I think, yeah, especially in Jersey, like, he's kind of that, you just go in hard from the start. And I think I just kind of try to get out as hard as possible. And once you get around that first bore, you kind of can just control it from there. So, yeah, I definitely, an aim for me in the whole Super League is to finish up with that blue jersey at the end of the season. That would be that'd be a great achievement for me. And then, yeah, the bike, I do ride well, but, you know, some of the girls are super powerful. Katie, you know, obviously on a bike is incredible. So yeah, trying to keep with them is the aim in Malta, really. And then yeah, my run's just a work in progress, so kind of we'll go out hard and see what happens.
Perfect. Yeah, no, it's true. And so it's funny. I always talk to, you know, a lot of the ITU style and Super League athletes and, you know, swim, especially if someone thrives in the swim component, you obviously know they're a really solid swimmer because, I mean, I don't know if you follow like the Ironman series much, but if you look at athletes kind of like Lucy Charles and Lauren Brandon, who come from a strong swim background, they absolutely dominate those long courses, right? So I'm always curious to see, like, has that ever been a thought of yours to move up to a long course and you'd be extremely solid off the swim to start out in like a good position?
You know, I don't know. Like the long distance stuff, I kind of get to Kona and I watch it and I'm like, wow, that is amazing. And then I think, I don't know if I think it's the mental side of things. I don't know if I have the mental ability to cope with an Ironman or anything like that. So you never know. I might ever do a half, but I'm not sure an Ironman. I don't think I've got the mental capacity for it, if I'm honest. But no, it's great to do the Super League and the, you know, obviously sometimes an ITU race in the swim is important, but you don't really get much from it. You know, you kind of top three, top four about an ITU event and you're talking seconds and, you know, you can, that gets swallowed up in transition. So I think it's great in the Super League that they actually identify, you know, those top swimmers with points and a jersey. So I do think sometimes the best swimmers do get a bit lost in ITU racing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. Well, that's it. Like there's so many extremely top notch swimmers in that league. Right? Yeah. So it's quite the competition to say the least. So now, I mean, as we talk about the Super League a little bit more here, could you walk the listeners through just a little bit? So there's, if they already haven't known, there's five formats of the Super League, just different styles of racing. Do you have any preferences of which of these styles you find are your strengths, I guess?
You know, they're all completely savage versions of racing. You know, it's been called the Hunger Games of triathlon, and it pretty much is the Hunger Games of triathlon. You know, you've kind of got the eliminator where two people are getting axed off the back every discipline. You know, that's not the end of every swim bike run. That's after the swim, two people are gone. So, you know, some of people will be starting on that start line knowing they've only got a 300 meter swim and then they're gone. So, you know, it is such a tough way of racing. So I'm looking forward to having the bike time trial in Malta. I think that'd be really cool to kind of split the field up a bit before we even start. So that'll be interesting. But I think my favorite probably is the Enduro. You know, it's probably about an hour of racing still, but you know, you kind of have to go hard from the gun. And I think that's great. My least favorite probably is the triple mix, because sometimes when it back-to-back runs, when you kind of do like swim, bike, run, and then run, swim, bike, or whatever, that kind of can get to me a bit when they double the run up. But hopefully, Malta with the time trial should be exciting, and I've not raced that format yet. So yeah, should be good.
Oh, nice. There you go. And yeah, it's funny you say about the triple mix. Yeah, a lot of the Super League athletes, they find that's the one that's most difficult or the least favorite, to say the least, right? Because I mean, when I think about it, just the technicalities behind it of the swim, bike, run, then a run, bike, swim sort of thing, like you're constantly thinking of the next transition and what you have to get ready, right? Like there's a lot of thought process going into, you know, on the side of you actually giving your all and sprinting basically. So I think it's a very challenging.
You know, on one hand, I think that's great actually, because, you know, triathlon, you know, every athlete on that start line is physically incredible, you know, incredible at triathlon. But I think some of it, people win or lose races because of, you know, mental decisions and, you know, being able to think forward thinking in other races. So I think, you know, that the triple mix especially is definitely a great way of kind of testing yourself and being able to think ahead under pressure, because the race is so short. You know, you've not got 20K on the bike to be thinking about, right, next is, you know, got a roll through transition. Here I'm getting off my bike. Here's where my transition is. And this is where I'm coming out onto the run. So, you know, everything's super condensed anyway. And then when you start throwing the order around, you kind of really do have to be thinking, you know, one or two transitions ahead. And yeah, I think that's great to develop athletes. And that's one thing Liv did say was, you know, you just kind of have to be always thinking two, three steps ahead. So I think it's great to learn that way. And you can't really replicate that any other way.
Yeah, no, 100%. So one of the things you kind of see more and more now, you see a lot of these athletes in transition taking off their shoes and then running quite a bit without their shoes. Now, what's your take on that? Is that something you like to do, or is that something that you might find works, or?
No, I'd be shoes on the whole way.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a bit of a shock really in Jersey when people were kind of scrapping the shoes altogether. My coach kind of said, you know, if you'd have done that, I would have jumped over the barriers and rubbed the tackle to the floor. But thankfully it didn't cross my mind to not put my trainers on. I don't know, like chatting to some of the guys afterwards, they kind of said, oh yeah, we never do barefoot running at home. And I thought, Wow, so you've just kind of gone, let's run 1, 2, or 3 miles, no shoes, on road. I don't know, I just, my feet are soft at the best of times. So yeah, I don't know, it was odd seeing people running without any shoes, but yeah, not for me. That I'd be shoes on every time.
Yeah, no, interesting. Yeah, I was curious to see that. I didn't see that being like a common thing. So when I saw it happen in Jersey, it's like, oh, that's different. But oh,
yeah,
interesting.
Yeah, no, we kind of said, we were like, oh, so you must do it at home then. And they were like, no, I've never done it before. And I was like, oh, I know, that's, I saw awesome. My feet are running up and down that ramp in Jersey. So I wasn't ready to commit for around the roads as well.
Right. No, it's true. So, I mean, as we talk about those, the formats that we were just talking about there briefly, now, how soon do you guys find out which formats you're going to be doing? Because each weekend includes at least 2 of the 5 potential race formats, right? So, of course, you already know now, I guess, what you're going to be doing in Malta?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so the Saturday is pretty much always going to be the same now. So the Saturday is going to be a heat format, you know, kind of splitting the field in half. An enduro, so twice through swim, bike, run. With the top athletes qualifying for the final on the Sunday. And then on the Sunday that the event can then change from, you know, weekend to weekend. So yeah, that's different because obviously in previous years, it's been an accumulation of your points over the Saturday and Sunday racing. So it really does mean that you kind of got to be on your A game from the off really, because otherwise if you're a bit off on the Saturday, you might not even make it through to the final on the Sunday.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, it's true. So, I mean, looking at so I'm trying to think of some of the complexities of Super League. So a lot of these listeners who may be new to the Super League and just sort of getting into it, one of the things that I found a lot of people kind of send me messages with are questions around the point system. So are you able to kind of explain the point system over across the season, how it sort of works and how it all kind of plays out at the end for the championships?
Yes, they've added like various different aspects to it this year. So the points are purely awarded on the Sunday final, no points rewarded for the Saturday. And then, you know, you kind of cross wherever you cross the line on the Sunday is what you're allocated for. So I think it's 20 points for first, 18, 16, you know, kind of drops down through the top 15, and they're your points that you carry through to the next week. But then you can also win bonus points. So if I was to win the blue jersey again in Malta, that would give me a bonus point. For the championship. So there are ways of adding a bonus points. The majority of, you know, your bulk of your points are coming for where you finish on the Sunday races. And then they just accumulate through the year. And then at the end of next year, they'll announce, you know, where you finished up.
Perfect. Yeah, no, that explains it really well. And I guess one of the things is when you look at a lot of athletes and it comes to the multiple races throughout the season. So when we look at athletes like Richard Murray, for example, who wasn't partaking in Jersey, now, because of this race format, will he inevitably be at a disadvantage not being able to collect those points in the first race?
Not necessarily. They're planning on, it's not been confirmed yet, but they're planning on having potentially 3 or 4 more races after the Olympics next year. So there'll be 5 or 6 championship races overall, and your top 4 scores will count, which I think is great because it gives, you know, people who have been a bit injured this year, you know, Henry Schumann didn't race in Jersey, George Taylor Brown didn't race. So I think it's great that actually those athletes are still going to have a chance to participate in the overall series next year, even though they've missed 1 or 2 this year.
Okay, perfect. Actually, that's a really good format of doing that. So top 4 of the 6, I guess, of your points. So that's good. So then, yeah. Because that's the thing, right? Because you guys all have, you know, ITU series, other commitments too with your triathlon career.
Yeah, so and then the championship, the end race next year. So the championship final, so to speak, is points and a half. So yeah, that's kind of the one that if you can make sure you're there and have a good race there, that'll obviously boost up your points as well. But yeah, like you said, there's other commitments, but I think Super League have worked really well with ITU to kind of compete alongside ITU rather than trying to, you know, compete on the same weekends and stuff. You know, I kind of said, look, ITU, you know, we're not going to overtake ITU in terms of WTS races. And ITU have said, well, Super League, you're great to have us, you know, alongside and gives athletes more races. So let's work together and find how we can get everyone to race through the year. And I think that's been really good.
Yeah, that's huge. That's really cool to see that. So I'm always glad to see. And do you find now, do you still think there'll be enough downtime between a Super League series and the World Triathlon Series, all the other commitments? Do you find there's still enough time for, you know, those downtime periods where you can kind of recover and get rested and get ready for the next season ahead?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, Super League have actually listened to kind of what we've said, and instead of trying to spread them out across, you know, 3-4 weeks, they've kind of said, well, let's just do them every other weekend. And, you know, it's kind of give 2 weeks off rather than, you know, a month in between each race, which is great for Super League style of racing. You know, it's short, it's sharp. You kind of need to get back and keep that kind of racing going. So, yeah, you can kind of fit 3-4 races at the end of the season in 6-7 week block, which, you know, is great. And then athletes can have a bit of downtime, build up into Christmas, and then look forward to the next year with some faster stuff in January, February.
Perfect. Yeah, that's great to see that format and how it all kind of worked out. So excellent. Yeah. Now, of course, you just finished up your season with the ITU. Like, how does the training change for you as you focus in the Super League for the winter? Or, I mean, does it change at all from what you currently do?
Well, we kind of, nothing really changed up until the Grand Final. And then after that, we dropped some of the volume out and just picked up some shorter, especially on the bike, some shorter stuff. We've, you know, kind of, especially into Malta, we've been doing much shorter hill reps, you know, kind of minute hill reps, which has kind of been a staple session for us leading in for Malta. And then my running, yeah, it's kind of, I kind of run the same volume in the week, but this, what the sessions have looked like have been a bit different. The track volume's dropped for some shorter reps. And then our, you know, our Friday session, which would normally be, you know, kind of your 10K effort, sort of 6-7 minute rep length, has kind of, we've kind of gone back to not so much a winter program, but we've gone back up into the hills, which we would normally take out until the winter, but we've kind of gone back to that to try and just get some strength and a bit of a bit of hill running in, really.
Excellent. No, it's true. That's really cool to hear that. And, you know, I guess looking at, you guys have some very intense training schedules at times, right? So now if you're to give age groupers some advice on training, just for the Super League, I guess. So one of the nice things I see about Super League is they're trying to get more involvement in the age group racing, which I think is awesome. But yeah, now a lot of these age groupers may not even come from an ITU background. So just for these generalized triathletes wanting to compete in a Super League age group race, do you have any basic advice on what they can train for, or like what they might expect that would benefit them come race day?
I think a lot of it is very much that the course is so different to what they'd be used to racing, you know, kind of through the year. You know, we've kind of gone to courses which are on, you know, crit style, a lot shorter, and you know, those turns, especially on the bike, are a lot, you know, a lot tighter. So I think, if, you know, especially for, you know, people who are very new to that, it's, you know, it's a big jump from, you know, kind of like TT efforts, I suppose, is definitely just get used to being able to handle your bike on those shorter circuits. And then depending on, you know, that, if they're doing back-to-back swim bike run, is just think about, is it worth trying to do some, you know, brick style things, because it is very different trying to swim after you've biked or ran. So yeah, I think it is a lot different, but I think it's great, and it'll be, yeah, it's another dimension for them to race, and, you know, getting more and more people involved is kind of what it's all about.
Yeah, no, absolutely, that's great tips and advice on that. And the thing which I think all athletes should, if they're able to, I know some, they're pretty far spread out across the globe, some of these races, but if they're around some of these races and able to experience competing in the age group Super League race, I think it'd be really cool, because it adds an extra dynamic to your triathlon style, right? It's, of course, we all like to swim, bike, run, but then to, you know, have those technical formats and, you know, all the, you know, between the eliminator or the triple mix, things like that, it's all really kind of cool to see and just test yourself and just see where your strengths are and where your weaknesses are, because I guess in those formats, that's where your strengths and weaknesses come out, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, especially for age groupers as well, like, they all do triathlon because they just enjoy the sport so much. And I think Super League is, you know, kind of takes that enjoyment to a new level. Like, everything is just heightened, you know, everyone's getting involved, like, all the athletes get involved, whether, you know, it's with the age groupers or volunteers, whatever, you know, we're all around, you know, supporting all the races that are going on. And I think it's so different. And yeah, like you said, if anyone is around any of those races, just come down and get involved. Like, even if you just come down and watch one, like, you'll realize like how cool it is and get involved with the next one. So yeah, I definitely would like to say to anyone, yeah, get involved and come down and watch your race if you can.
Perfect. Oh, there you go. Awesome. And so now, I guess, talking about your Super League season this year, I guess, when you look at your competition, is there, I guess in particular, is there anyone that you look up to in the series as either a role model or inspiration, or even as kind of like a friendly rivalry or competition? Any key players in the league this year?
Yeah, I mean, someone asked me this question. I said, look, anyone who's lining up on that Super League start list is a fierce competitor. You know, no one's lining up there for, you know, a fun day out. So, yeah, you know, every woman that's signing up on that start list is ready for a hard weekend of racing. And, you know, depending on what, you know, what race we end up racing, I think is a massive factor. And I think we saw that in Jersey, you know, as soon as we knew that it was an aquathlon, everyone was like, how the hell is anyone going to beat Bogrand? She is going to be unstoppable. And I think, you know, she's a formidable athlete. She is an incredible swimmer and, you know, world-class runner. So I think, you know, she is going to be tough to beat. But, you know, you can never rule out Katie. She would never give up. And I think, especially on the course in Malta, like, I think she'll be the one to beat. Everyone, it's weird with Zubi because everyone gets on so well in the week that you never really have that with ITU racing. You know, we all sit down for dinner, you know, the week leading into it. Everyone's there for breakfast, chatting about, you know, everything other than triathlon normally. So, yeah, you kind of really do build friendships with athletes that sometimes you kind of would just say, oh, hi, or good luck to. But yeah, it's great to meet people and know people on a different level than you would normally at ITU races. But yeah, everyone's going to be gunning for that tape on come Saturday and Sunday.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, we're all looking forward to watching that. It's going to be a really action-packed race and excited for it. There's a big build-up to it. So especially coming off Jersey, I think it'll be a really great race for everyone to watch and tune into. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
I'm looking forward to that.
Perfect. So, I mean, looking at the younger upcoming stars in I guess either ITU or Super League, who would you say the listeners should look out for in the years to come? Do you have any, you know, like you said, training partners or any friends or any people that you know in the Super League or ITU that are some big up-and-comers that are still quite young?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to sound biased, but Liv, who I train with, you know, she's gone on so much in the last 2 years, I'd say. You know, she's really improved from kind of like a junior athlete, you know, kind of top 10 at European sort of thing to, you know, she finished second at the under 23 World Champs in Lausanne. And, you know, I obviously train with her every day and just seeing how much she's improved and, you know, she's definitely got her head screwed on the right way. So yeah, definitely would be looking out for her as an up and comer. And I think the Brits as a whole, we've got some great athletes on our junior program. Juniors and 23s, we've got some real talent coming through. Kate Woff, she's another one. Like, she was fourth in Lausanne and, you know, she's, again, great athlete, got her head screwed on the right way. And yeah, I mean, there are so many. And I think even on our boys' side as well, like, where I train in Loughborough, we train at the university. So I always, every year, kind of, we get a few youngsters that come through. And we've got youngsters on, you know, male and female, that even just in Loughborough, that are, you know, you can see the potential that they can be racing World Series and Super League in years to come.
Amazing. No, that's really cool to hear. So that's awesome. I mean, as we wrap up the Super League talk here, I guess, can you let us know what your Super League schedule is kind of looking like? I know we said there's, you know, races kind of spread out based around, you know, for people's recovery time, like rest, all that kind of thing, and other series leagues. So what's the Super League schedule for you? Is it all kind of in place yet, or are they still trying to figure out dates for some of the races? Or
no, so thing they're kind of just trying to nail down locations at the moment. They've got more qualifiers next year, but hopefully, obviously, with being well positioned in the series, I won't have to qualify myself. But yeah, they've got more qualifiers going on, which obviously is great, gives more people a chance to qualify for the series. And then there's been talk about various locations for the back end of next year, kind of like Singapore, Dubai, things like that have been floated around, which will be great. But nothing has been confirmed as of yet. So hopefully kind of maybe we'll find out more this weekend. But yeah, nothing has been set in stone just yet.
Okay, perfect. So Malta is, you know, this upcoming weekend. And after that, it's just sort of a wait and find out period for now? Or
yeah. Guys,
okay, perfect. Yeah. Awesome. So that's good to know. That's great stuff. And then, Son, I mean, switching over here a little bit to the ITU and, you know, the Olympic side of things now, of course, wanted to highlight some of your amazing accomplishments this season, right? You had the gold medal at Cagliari World Cup and the gold medal with the mixed relay team in Nottingham, as well as the top 10 finish at the Tokyo qualifier. So, I mean, looking ahead to your 2020 season for the ITU, what's kind of expected? Like, what do you have in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I literally met with my coach on Friday, and, you know, with this year nearly finishing, he said to me, he's like, what do you want to do in 2020? And I kind of said to him, you know, Olympics aside, like, I feel this year has been my most consistent year across, especially WTS racing. And I said, look, if I can finish being ranked top 10 in the world for the WTS series, that for me will be great. And, you know, it's pretty difficult being a Brit female. On one hand, it's great. You know, we have so many great athletes that are, you know, you kind of look at the ranking and there's five of us in the top 13 on or 15 of the ITU world rankings. But on the other hand, you know, I kind of couldn't race all the races I wanted to this year because we're limited on starts for races. So yeah, I mean, hopefully next year I'll have a consistent year across WTS, and if I can get in and around podiums next year, that also would be great. But yeah, I think being more consistent this year has been something I've really worked towards, and hopefully can build on that again in 2020.
Amazing. Awesome. Well, that's pretty much a great spot, I think, to kind of end things off. But I mean, as we near the end here, I kind of want to see if we do the 1 minute Q&A fire round. We'll see how many questions we can get out in 1 minute. Are you in for that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. So I'm going to set the timer here, and we'll see how many questions we get through there in 1 minute. So if you're good to start, I'll hit the go button and we'll fire these off.
Yeah.
Awesome. So here, let's do it. So now, what is your favorite race distance across all the formats in triathlon, Super League and ITU?
Super sprint.
Nice. And then what is your go-to pre-race breakfast? Do you have one?
Oh, porridge.
Nice. There you go. Now, who's your biggest influence or inspiration in triathlon?
Not in triathlon, but I always used to look up to Kelly Holmes when I was younger, and she was probably the one person that influenced me to get into elite sport.
Oh, there you go. That's excellent. And then, of course, being a triathlon, you've traveled all over the world here. So what's one of the most beautiful places you've traveled to for triathlon?
To New Zealand.
There you go. So do you use Zwift, or do you ever do any Zwift racing for training?
I'm on Zwift. I've not yet done a Zwift race, but I am committed for this winter. I'll be Zwift racing every week.
There you go. Awesome. Excited for that. Now, what would you say would be the most grueling or toughest course that you've had to race?
Lausanne. It was so hard.
There you go. And then which discipline do you find is your strongest and weakest out of the swim, cycling, and running?
Swim my strongest, run the weakest.
Perfect. Awesome. So that's a wrap. You said you're going to be heading out to Malta soon, right?
Yes, on Wednesday, super early flight. So I'm there Wednesday morning. So yeah, looking forward to some sun because it's dreadful weather where I am at the moment.
Oh, there you go. So, and now I guess this is always a question I actually like to ask, because, you know, I find the ITU athletes in particular do so much traveling, right? And I mean, you guys are probably used to, you know, getting on flights, getting on planes, all that sort of thing. So how early do you like to show up at a race venue, I guess, before you have enough time to kind of settle down and get used to things and get going and be race ready? You always need a couple of days before to get to a new location?
All depends where it is, really. I suffer quite bad with jet lag. So depending on where the race is, like, I'd have to go out, you know, fairly early if it was pretty far away. But no, if it was, you know, within Europe or whatever, I'd drop in as late as possible. I like to train at home. I like my home comforts. I like being with the dog. So yeah, if I can drop in as late as possible, then that's how I'd like to race as many races as possible.
Perfect. Excellent. There you go. And then one last question. This came from a listener who wanted to kind of find out tips when it comes to traveling with your bikes for triathlon, all your gear and stuff. So do you just use a bike case and you have it shipped there and you just bring it around with you and then ship it home with you after? Like, what's your whole strategy with getting your bike and getting all your gear to all these races across the world?
So normally I use I've got a Cycon bike bag, which actually is great. You know, kind of your bike fits into a metal frame at the bottom of the bag, but you can also fit so much in there as well. So if you're traveling out and you've got a training camp before, you can fit two sets of wheels in there. I normally put all my shoes, wetsuit, kind of everything like that in there as well. So that's a great way of kind of like saving on having your suitcase absolutely rammed. And then, yeah, if it's just popping over for, you know, kind of like your race where it's a late drop in, I'd literally just travel with that and hand luggage. But if we've kind of got to go to, you know, it's a longer flight and we, you know, there for a week or so, I'd take, you know, proper suitcase. But, you know, one tip that I always say to people when they're racing is put your race suit and your race flaps in your hand luggage, because if you turn up to a race and, you know, your luggage is lost and whatever, they're the two things that I personally think are key to your race day. If you've got your own race suit and your own race flaps, you know, even if you do lose your bag and you have to borrow a helmet or whatever, it kind of get away with that, but you're not going to find anyone with your tri suit, and it's quite difficult to find race flats that you know and you've ran in before. So yeah, top tip, always put in a few key race essentials in your hand luggage.
That's right. That's actually some really good advice. So I'm glad you mentioned that. So that's a really good tip. So there you go. Awesome. And then just to kind of wrap it up, do you have any sponsors and coaches or training partners or anything you kind of want to give shout outs to before we kind of end this off?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very fortunate enough that the group I have in to train with in Loughborough University, you know, is great. My coach Adam Elliott, he's kind of pulled us all together, and we've got such a great group with Jody Stimpson as well. So yeah, we've got a great group there, and yeah, I'm lucky to have, you know, Specialized and Descent on my side, and you know, they've supported me through the last couple of years, and looking ahead, and hopefully many more to come.
There you go. Excellent. Yeah. I mean, all the best on that. And I mean, so for those who don't already follow you out there, where's the best place to kind of find more about you and follow you this year through racing? Instagram, websites, things like that?
Yeah, Instagram is probably the one I use the most. You know, not only is do I use it as an insight to, you know, triathlon and sport, but I think it's quite good. You kind of like, you get to know about athletes on, you know, kind of a bit of a personal level as well. You know, you kind of see me out with the dogs or painting my nails or baking or, you know, kind of things like that. So I think, if you ever want to see what I'm up to, Instagram's probably the best one. And if you've ever got any questions, shoot them my way. So I'll be more than happy to answer them.
Awesome. There you go. Well, again, thanks so much for coming on the show. We appreciate that. And we wish you nothing but the best of luck in Malta. We're excited for you.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Cheers. Take care.
Bye.
Well, guys, there you have it. Sophie Caldwell has an amazing story, and I hope you guys enjoyed listening to her stories and experiences, and definitely be sure to follow her throughout the next couple of years, because I think she'll absolutely be a big name to watch out for in the Super League. So anyway, that wraps up today's episode. If you want to hear more podcasts like these, then hit that subscribe button. And you can follow me on Instagram at pacing.and.racing. You can check us out on YouTube as well by searching Pacing and Racing. And lastly, if you did like this episode, please just take 2 minutes to leave a kind review on the podcast channel, as this helps get heard by more listeners through the podcast platform algorithms. Anyways, thanks guys, and we'll talk to you next time.